to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, the author of the book Mercury Free. His name is Dr. James E. Hardy. You can reach him at 407-678-3399. All right. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge, and we got the phone lines open. If you'd like to call in, 407-774-8255 is the number. We got a real big show lined up for you tonight. Of course, we know about the San Bernardino situation. We'll be talking about it here shortly, but first let me tell you who all is in the studio. And by the way, you can see us because the El General Lucas Paris is in the studio with the Periscope up and running. So you can go to YouTube, type in Adversaries TV, all one word.
It looks like Star Wars. I need that or some type of pervert running around the room. I can't figure it out.
I'm not shooting for Esquire yet.
No, that's right. All right. Anyway, you can see everybody because we got a full house. It's going to be a full house, even though we're going to sort of change the cast of characters in the middle of the show today. But you heard, of course, the chairman of the board, Mike McBath himself, is in studio today.
Chris, I'm getting ready for our meeting tonight, Jim is kind enough to come down. He's wearing our Central Florida NFL shirt.
Yep.
He was a former NFL player, and so we're excited.
We're all excited all about that, and we got Colonel Danny McKnight, the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, in studio tonight. Colonel?
I'm happy to be anywhere. But especially here with you guys.
Amen to that. And you heard Mike refer to Jim. Well, we got a man who has his own entrance music.
It's beautiful.
And that's our man, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, is in the studio with us live.
Well, you know, folks, they always say the best way to get someone's attention is to whisper.
But that's not Hacksaw Jim Duggan's way. I got to give a big ho!
Ho!
I tell you, it's an honor to be here with Colonel McKnight, a true American hero. Be here with Mike McBath, you guys again, the American Adversaries. It's great to be back in Orlando. Give me a hole, young guy.
Oh!
That's a pretty good hole, kid. I like it.
Hey, man up, will you, Luca? Come on, a little higher, buddy. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
My mic's not even on.
As you can tell, we got a big show lined up for you tonight. As I said, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to take advantage of both Hacksaw and Colonel McKnight's expertise tonight. And as I said, you can be a part of the show. Now, later on in the show, these guys are all going to have to leave. They have other appointments to be at the meeting. They each have meetings to go to.
Yep.
And but
it's
then
a meeting? What am I doing
wait,
here?
Wait, wait a minute.
Yeah, there's a party.
Oh, okay, thanks, Colonel.
All right. But we will have Chris Kassler and Amapola Hansberger from the Legal Immigrants for America in with us today as well, and all great guests in particular, considering what is going on. Evidently, the situation in San Bernardino is still a live situation, so to speak. At last, my last check, they had not apprehended any of the shooters. Evidently, the police are reporting as many as three shooters entered around noontime, local time, their time in San Bernardino, a little before noon this morning. They entered someplace called it's like a campus called the Inland Regional Facility. It's a social services complex, about three stories tall, employs about 650 people, and serves about 30,000 people in that community. Evidently, they entered with AK-47s and were reported to be wearing body armor. That's pretty much all we know at this moment. There was as many as a couple of dozen people who were victims. There are a number of fatalities. We don't know the exact numbers of either of those. And, of course, this story will be developing, especially since they have not, at my last check, apprehended anyone. First of all, I want to kind of go around the table. I'll start with you, Colonel McKnight. Sound like terrorist activity to you?
Anything like that is qualified as terrorist activity to me. And this, you know, when are we going to do something to make this stop? Because we can stop it, but we can't stop it because every time it seems like a law enforcement officer happens to shoot somebody, And most of the time they are legitimate shootings. Okay, let's make sure we understand our law enforcement people how good they are. I mean, when's this going to stop, you know? I got grandkids. I worry about it. And this is just unbelievable. It is.
Well, one thing that jumped into my mind right away is it sounded like this was a quote-unquote soft target. In other words, it's a place that would have, if not been posted as, would have been assumed as a gun-free zone, right? A social services building, or, you know, where people wouldn't suspect perhaps that terrorists would attack.
Planned Parenthood, though, that just happened.
Colorado Springs.
Fairly soft target, too, right?
Well,
it's a fairly soft target.
Well, not in the sense that, I mean, they have massive amounts of security cameras. Their buildings are built like fortresses. And most of them have armed guards.
Well, their guards aren't very good, and their cameras don't kill anybody.
Well, that's...
They've not had a camera shoot anybody yet.
Yeah.
Okay?
And
that's the problem. We are not being aggressive enough about this, and it's getting ridiculous because we're hearing this, what, almost every other week or every week, it seems like now.
Yeah.
And that's disturbing.
I know both you and Hacksaw, you do extensive amount of traveling. What's your reaction?
Well, you know, if it's more than one shooter, you got to wonder about what the situation is. In Colorado Springs, one guy, you can kind of see a crazed nut going in off by himself. But three guys dressed in body armor with an escape plan that sounds more organized, more like terrorists. But, of course, it's hard to speculate at this time. But, you know, I think the death penalty would be a good deterrent. They grab these guys, they take them, they study them, they do all this stuff. I think if there's no question about it, they got the guy in Colorado, boom, he did it, they got him. Execute him.
Mike.
Jim, you'll never be a liberal.
Do you mean right. With a long hair? Even I'm not a liberal.
Do you mean immediate execution on the spot or an actual trial?
Cut down to save a lot of money.
No, I actually haven't heard that today. And you probably heard the other news about the NFL today.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about
right,
that. Yeah.
I mean, the reality of it is they have these policemen who are off-duty policemen, and they are supposed to guard the stadiums. If there's ever a soft target, it's the NFL stadiums, right? You got people enjoying the game.
Any sports. Yeah.
Right, no one paying attention. You got 70,000, 80,000 people reflect to college. Well, this is insane that you don't have these people armed, because a guy could come in there and just do massive destruction before anybody gets there to stop him.
Let me explain to some people that may not have heard, mm-hmm. but the Fraternal Order of Police has asked the NFL to allow off-duty police officers to resume carrying guns. Evidently, they were allowed to do this up until 2013.
Right.
And I guess maybe the new commissioner,
the
politically
new style,
correct.
Right.
Yeah, they denied off-duty, these are off-duty police officers, from carrying their weapons into the stadiums. Now, when they did this, they alerted the on-duty security who they were and where they would be sitting. So that they just didn't walk in, you know, like any old body with a ticket and right. happen to be a police officer with a gun. No, it was all done in a very organized way so that there would be no mistake right. should an event actually happen. But it gets to what Colonel McKnight said, and that is that we are leaving ourselves vulnerable. You asked, when is it going to stop? It's going to stop when we finally decide that gun-free zones is lunacy.
But I think, Danny, right? You know this, too. Yeah. A lot of these fellows are such cowardly inwardly, if all of a sudden they get sprayed with a bunch of shots coming from everywhere, they're going to just stop firing and either drop the gun or take off.
Yeah.
If we don't have people there, how many minutes could you kill so many people in 10 minutes? You massacre these people.
Absolutely.
I'm going to actually complain about this at the next NFLPA meeting. Well, what the heck's going on here?
Will you go on record then supporting what the Fraternal Order of Police
I would support myself. You know, I can't speak for the Player Association, but I would support myself certainly that I believe all these guards should be able to carry weapons, because I think you're too vulnerable. Everybody's so, you know, cars drive in. You can imagine some of these stadiums, if the police were trying to get there, they're all blocked up. You can't get through the traffic. It would be just disastrous.
Well, let me put the question to you, Hacksaw. What was it, Lucas, just the last WWE pay-per-view event in Atlanta, Georgia? There were evidently threats from the Islamic State, ISIS, that they were going to attack that event. Would you like off-duty police officers, for instance, to know that they're in the crowd at a WWE event protecting
Sure. Even flying, you know, I fly an awful lot, and police officers fly. They report to TSA, they check their weapon, and get on board. So, I mean, yeah, I think the old adage is the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
And, of course, and if they're not able to carry the weapon, obviously.
As the colonel said, no cameras don't kill nobody.
Yeah, that's right. But even disarmed, I mean, think about that. Those three American military, I believe it was two military and one civilian in France.
High-speed train.
Yeah, who attacked the guy with the AK and surprised him because he didn't expect it. And this goes back to what you're saying, because think about this target. Okay,
it is too easy.
It is a social services center which serves mentally impaired people.
But a strange target. It's not a government building. It's not a military building. It's not a recruiting center. I mean, it is a strange target.
But you know the amazing thing about this NFL stadium deal? They just announced to the terrorists, "Hey, here's a great place to go because it's not
cops don't have guns."
That's right. Exactly. Look, you guys have nothing to do. Stop by the San Francisco game.
And see this kind of target. You know, it is so soft, okay, that to be able to do what they did, obviously, okay? And that's what they're going to try to do is hit soft targets. And people will say, well, why would they want to hit them? Because there's nobody there to shoot back at them.
Right.
That's why. And they're going to continue to do that. If they do it enough, they're going to cause more upheaval than we have seen in our country in probably 100 years. Because it's going to keep happening, keep happening, keep happening. And when do we make it stop? Soft targets, it's not matter whether it's soft or hard target. They just want to kill people to keep destroying us. And that's what they're doing. Because we got people sitting in power positions that don't have a damn, excuse my language, clue of what's going on don't care.
And a great segue, it'd be good to know who's coming in so you can know who's coming into the country.
Well, the other thing, Jim, exactly. your father was a police, right?
He was 42 years of police chief.
Listen to this. New York.
Yep, upstate New York.
42 years.
Everywhere else, I'm Hacksaw Duggan. In Glens Falls, I'm Chief Duggan's kid.
Still to this day.
To this day, yeah.
That's a good tag, though, Chief Duggan's kid.
You're not kidding. Yeah.
But he brings up another excellent point, Hacksaw does, and we've talked about this on the show with you before, Mike and you and I, about the porous border down there and who is coming and going back and forth, and the caches of weapons that they may have already stored here in the United States. AK-47s. Now, that's the weapon of choice of terrorists, right?
Oh, my Lord. I didn't know that part because, like I said, I just heard about it. But the AK-47 going up against a Glock or something like that, guess who's going to win that battle?
Yeah.
The AK-47 every time. Every time.
Yeah.
Brutal weapon. Absolutely. Oh, that's what they love to use.
Yeah.
Because it works really well, too, you know. And see, it's interesting because I was just in San Francisco. I was out there last week, I guess it was, if I'm correct. Anyway, and spoke to the California Narcotics Officers Association, over 2,000 of them in attendance.
Yeah. Wow.
And the day we got there, a police officer in Downey, I think it was Downey, California,
was shot.
Walked out to his car. And the guy was waiting on him and killed him.
Yeah.
See, that's what's going on, and we have got to find a way to stop this. We've got to.
Well, it starts with good leadership.
Yeah. Big problem.
Yeah, let's just say
big problem.
I have
sorry.
No comment to that one. There's nothing good.
All right, well, listen, we have a full bank of callers. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take the calls. Once again, you are listening to the American Adversaries. Big show for you tonight, folks. Colonel Danny McKnight, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Chairman of the Board Mike McBath, myself, we're all here in the studio, and you can see us because General Lucas Paris has us up on the Periscope.
What do I see? Poetry. Poetry in motion.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. Sorry to keep you waiting. We're listening to Colonel Danny McKnight tell us about one of his encounters in Somalia. Welcome back to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries. We're coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, 407-774-8255 is the number. We'll go to the phone calls now. Let's start with Aubrey Kahn. Aubrey, sorry you couldn't be in the studio tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry, too. I had three inspections today. I am bushed. I'm heading home.
I hear you.
Why don't you stop by for a drink, Audrey, at the meeting? No.
Yeah, I still got work to do. I've got about 6,000 work ahead of me still.
Oh, no, Audrey, wine.
Wine is good. Yeah, I like it. It's a good
cabernet. All right, anyway, go ahead. Thanks.
Well, firstly, it's good to hear Colonel Dan on the line again, and Hacksaw, I've never met you, but one of these days.
Well, thank you.
You know, I have a slight disagreement with what Colonel Danny said regarding those in Washington.
And?
I don't think that they're unaware of the solution to the problem. They're doing this on purpose. They're encouraging these gun-free zones because if they get enough of these mass shootings, there will be enough of an outcry, and the Dems will get in and be able to sweep in and do their best to get rid of the Second Amendment so that they can rule over the populace without fear of reprisals.
Well, Aubrey, let me get Colonel to respond to that. Were you just nodding your head, Colonel?
Well, the one thing, though, that I was being too nice when I talked about the people up there and their decision-making, Aubrey, I agree. But I will tell you this, what I am concerned about, and this is a realistic thought, believe me, you ever heard of martial law?
Yep.
You heard of martial law?
I'm concerned about that.
And you know, when martial law happens and the guy that's in office declares that martial law for our country, do you know that he can be extended then in office as the President of the United States because of martial law? And see, that's what I think we're heading to if we don't stop it very, very soon.
Well, if he can confiscate all guns from the legal gun owners, because most legal gun owners are law-abiding people.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's only law-abiding people that will obey the law.
Yeah, well, if it comes to martial law, I think there's going to be a whole lot more that won't qualify so much as law-abiding people because they won't be willing to give up their guns. Aubrey, I got to let you go, though. I got other callers. Thanks so much.
Have a great evening.
Take care, Aubrey.
Yeah.
All right.
God bless.
Excellent points. Diane, you're up next. Thanks for calling.
Hey, about this shooting, people, they said that they were white people, but everybody else said they were wearing ski masks. So how do they know?
Yeah, that's you're right. I failed to report that they said that they were wearing masks. They appeared to have body armor on, and it appears as though they escaped in a planned escape, like Hacksaw said, in a black SUV.
Right.
So, yeah.
Chris, I heard that, too, and just like Diane said, this is typical what goes on. They immediately say it's white, and then all of a sudden they go quiet, and then it evolves to whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what a game that is played by the media.
Yeah.
And they did say that they shot up a conference room where they were, and they won't say who was holding the conference or why.
Yeah. And once again, folks, we're talking about there's just been a shooting today in San Bernardino, California, at a social services complex, and there's been a number of casualties. There are fatalities. We don't know the totals of either, though. It's perhaps about a couple of dozen casualties out of that. We don't know the fatalities. But evidently, they did not capture or kill the perpetrators yet, so we do not know anything really about them other than the MO of the crime itself, of the terrorist act itself, and that is that it appears to be at least two, perhaps three shooters using AK-47s, perhaps wearing body armor and masks, and escaped in a black SUV and probably headed south to the border because, of course, San Bernardino isn't all that far from the Mexican border down there. All right. Thank you for the update, Diane. Appreciate that. All right. We'll go next to John. John, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
Hey, Danny.
Yes.
You never have to excuse yourself for your language, man. You're Danny McKnight, man.
It just sometimes comes out, you know.
Well, you know what?
And he hasn't heard me talking on the air sometimes either, I guess. Anyway, go ahead, John.
Well, I got a couple things. Number one, there was somebody on Michael Medved that thought that we should start arming a militia. I would hate to be in a situation, an active shooter situation in a building and get caught in civilian crossfire and get shot by a friendly. What I think we may need to do, though, I had talked to you earlier about relatives that were in L.A. during the Watts riots, and then again during the Rodney King riots, and one of the officers there was talking about how...
I'm going to have to ask you to speed it up because I'm coming up on a hard break.
Oh, okay. Basically, what I was saying is that we probably need to start training security forces with all kinds of anticipated scenarios so that they're well armed.
Okay, I'll have the colonel respond to that after the break. And then you also wanted to make a point about NFL stadiums.
But let me tell you this real quick. We were listening to President Obama about the global climate change thing, and as I was explaining to my grandson, he's about 4 years old, about global warming and all that, he says, "Grandpa, why don't they just make the adjustment on their thermostat?"
All right, thanks,
that
John.
That sounds like a Washington response, too.
It does, indeed.
A four-year-old response, right?
All right, then. Thank you. Thank you, John. We appreciate that. Real quick, I got this update from Carl Jackson. He's monitoring the situation in San Bernardino. We know now that there are at least 14 fatalities. So we'll keep an eye on that throughout the show this evening. Once again, you are listening to The American Adversaries. We've got Colonel Danny McKnight. He's the author of the book Streets of Mogadishu. We have Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who's the author of the book Hacksaw, the Jim Duggan Story.
You know, catchy title.
It's gift-giving season. You can get these books online, or you can get them at Barnes & Noble, or you can get Danny's book at DannyMcKnight.com. Do you have a website? Hacksaw?
Yes, HacksawJimDuggan.com.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
W-O-R-L, say it like you mean it, honey. Ho!
Ho! That is Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the studio with us tonight, folks. He's on his way here shortly with Mike McBath to the NFL players meeting, quote unquote.
Chris, you'll be there a little bit later.
Yeah, I'll be there after the show's over. I'm a ski daddle on over there.
We have about 45 other players there, and they'll be looking for you because you've said some things that have upset them, Chris.
I'll have Hacksaw. You'll have my back, won't you, Hacksaw?
I get off the couch fast.
Colonel Danny McKnight's also in the studio with us. And just before we went to the break, I was trying to say that they each have authored excellent books. Colonel Danny McKnight has authored Streets of Mogadishu. It's a book about leadership and, of course, the Somalia mission. And you can get that at his website, DannyMcKnight.com. That's Streets of Mogadishu. And Hacksaw has written a book about his life, autobiography, called Hacksaw, the Jim Duggan Story. And it's a fascinating read, too.
Well, a little different story there than, of course, the colonel over there in Mogadishu taking care of business. I tell you, during the breaks, it's been a great opportunity to talk to the colonel, get some inside stories.
Yeah, some inside knowledge, if you will. Anyway, if you would like some of that inside knowledge, give us a call right now at 407-774-8255. And you can get Streets of Mogadishu at DannyMcKnight.com. Of course, you can also get it online. And you can get Hacksaw the Jim Duggan Story online at Barnes & Noble as well. And can they order it through your website?
Yes, they can order it through the website. Get 2x4s, 8x10s, T-shirts, you name it.
That's right. I got me an autographed 2x4. His website
Home
is
Shopping Network, right?
Yeah, right. His website is HacksawJimDuggan.com. You spell Duggan, D-U-G-G-A-N. HacksawJimDuggan.com. Of course, we've been talking about the situation in San Bernardino, and we really don't know too many facts. Carl Jackson has alerted us that there are at least now 14 fatalities. A number of other people have been wounded. It appears to be definitely a terrorist attack. We just don't know who the terrorist group is. Has all the earmarks, anyway, of a terrorist attack. We can't say that for sure, though. But there was more than one perpetrator, as many as three, perhaps wearing body armor, wearing ski masks, and escaped in an SUV and were brandishing AK-47s. That's what they were doing the damage with. And in San Bernardino, of course, is just outside of Los Angeles, right, and very close to the southern border down there. So one must wonder. And, of course, we can't say much more than that until we get more facts. But we have talked about this terrorist threat before. You know, the president, here he was over there in Paris, just days ago, talking about the situation in Colorado Springs, saying nowhere else in the world does this happen. Now, he's in Paris. Nowhere else in the world do we have mass shootings, is what he said. He's in Paris. What did they just have on Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
But a mass shooting. Now, granted, they used also bombs and grenades, but they were using, once again, AK-47s.
That's what they opened up on in that the cafe place, you know? That's what they, I mean, we've seen the video of it. Yeah. That was bullets that were going, you know? That wasn't even hand grenades. They used those more when they were at the concert thing, you know?
So,
exactly.
So obviously he's got his head shoved up somewhere where he can't see things too very well from. And
it's been there for quite a while,
though. Just kind of treading water, I think, which a lot of people think. He's just to get out until he's out of office, and they just putting in his time, it looks like.
And Chris, one thing, you know,
unfortunately, I think you're right.
We talk about, is this an act of terrorism? It is. It's, as a minimum, domestic terrorism. See, that's what we've got to figure out. I mean, people got to understand, terrorism is terrorism. If three guys come in there with AK-47s, with masks, with body armor, they are terrorists. They may be foreign or they may be, you know, domestic. Americans, but they're terrorists. Either way, when you do multiple killing like that, that's domestic terrorism if they're not foreign. But we may find out that they are.
They're
like
not
you
trying
said,
to rob
Mexico.
Nothing, just
nope.
there to cause damage, and destroy, and kill.
Another question, Danny. What do you feel about these Syrians coming into this country? Do you think it's possible to vet them? I think it's impossible, absolutely impossible.
To let them in?
Yeah.
To vet them.
Betting is a joke.
See?
That's a joke. How are you going to vet that many people coming in? How are you really going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And where are you going to get the information that you need from anyway?
Yeah.
From them?
From Syria, right?
I mean, come on. You know?
No, they have all their IDs that have been made up down the street.
Exactly.
Well,
see?
But also what troubles me is that it was just announced today that there are some 700,000 of these refugees in Hungary that are going to be now dispersed into Europe. And once they get their papers and get into Europe, then they can come here without a visa.
That's right. See? So where's this betting going to go on, you know? And it's not. And to think that we're going to allow them in is unbelievable.
And the footage you see, it's 90% young men and the refugees. They say women and orphans. It seems like an awful lot of young men coming over on those boats.
Yeah. I mean, I feel sorry for them. I really do. I understand what they've dealt with, and they're trying to get away from it and everything. But why should we have to deal with that when they get here? You know,
well, McCain had the idea with a no-fly zone, a safe zone for them, and keep them right there. But that's long gone, past time.
Sure.
Plus, the other thing, Danny, is look at the numbers they're going to bring in to Canada under the new Liberal government, right?
Yes. 25,000 by February.
I saw actually pictures. It was funny, but really pathetic. There's a group of our friends in a mosque. They showed them crossing over into the United States, walking across the ice on lakes and stuff. You know. I mean, this place is just an open border. You know there's guns stashed everywhere. You know there's weapons stashed everywhere.
By the way.
And we got a president that's sitting there smoking a reefer.
Yeah. France closed three mosques today.
Did they?
Because they were places where violence was being incited and evidently guns were being stored.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we can even investigate mosques.
Unfortunately, right now.
That's profiling.
That's right. Unfortunately, right now, with this administration, we are not able to surveil mosques.
There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of Swedish terrorists, you know.
No, there don't seem to be a lot of blonde-haired, blue-eyed terrorists, that's for sure. Nor black American terrorists either, I might add. But the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff testified in front of Congress yesterday, Colonel McKnight. And did you catch any of it? I see you with a pained look on your face right now.
Well, I didn't see it. No, I did not get the opportunity to watch it when it was on.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you got more respect for General Dunford than you had for General Dempsey.
Oh, yes.
Even though Dunford's Marine and Dempsey was Army.
Doesn't matter to me. Yeah. I know that Dempsey did not stand up like he should have.
He affirmed yesterday, as he put it, that we are technically not at war with the Islamic State. I had Congressman Micah in here last week, and I asked him, why not go ahead and declare war on these people? And he kind of hemmed and hawed, and I said, if nothing else, it changes the whole mentality. It changes the whole dynamic of how we approach the problem. Was I wrong? It doesn't make a big deal to declare war on these people.
Why shouldn't? Why would he say we're not technically? What is technical war? Okay, you're either at war or you're not at war. There's no not technically at war. We are at war, and if we don't, you heard me say it a long time ago, the only way we were going to stop this is get boots on the ground, look the ISIS people eyeball to eyeball, shoot them, and then move on. That was the only way we were going to stop it. Guess what? We are so far away from that now, I don't know if we're ever going to get back. They had 5,000 when they first started.
ISIS.
We could have taken care of that in a flash. Now we got about 30,000 of them, at least, running around the whole dadburn world, you know?
Danny,
and they're here.
It's like motivating a football team.
Yes.
You know,
the JV team.
Yeah, how do you get these guys ready to fight when they realize, oh, this is a joke, no one cares, he's not going to do anything? When you know that you're going in, like when you're ready to play a game, you're going in full force, buddy, you're going to apply everything you learn, and you're going there to win. This has just been a nightmare trying to be just very passive.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we see our president weightlift, I love that one. Oh, my God, those two-pound barbells, I'll never get over that.
I love the way McMahon used that on WWE.
Oh, that was great. WWE, that Russian girl, she's going like this. Weight, you have a weight president. No kidding.
McMahon and Trump are big buddies, you know, Vince and Donald. They did the deal to shave each other's head at WrestleMania one year.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But we have, you know, beefed up over there, right? Yeah, we're sending special operations guys in, right?
50 before, now they say they're going to send 250 more.
Yeah.
That's just window dressing, isn't it, or less?
It really is.
I don't want to take away from them because I know their capabilities as fighters, but
superb.
With those numbers,
you can only do so much so long. So at some point, those 250, what are they going to do? They got to replace them.
They got to rotate out.
Or they got to bring more people in. They should have put more than 250 there, okay? These guys and gals that are going to be over there doing that, they're great at it. There is no doubt. But you don't have enough on the ground, you know? You're going to hit a target here and hit a target there. I guess the reason they decided to do that, because we're dropping bombs on hitting the wrong people, so that's got us in trouble, too.
Am I wrong, or when you were dispatched to Somalia with your Army Rangers, you went with less than your full complement of troops?
We were ready to go at 550 and 30 hours before we were cut to 450, yeah.
Did that make a difference in the mission?
That second crash site? Everybody would be alive today if we had 550 there.
Yeah. And no
armor.
That's
my position. I put it in writing that, without a doubt, that second helicopter would not have been overrun.
Hacksaw, you said.
I believe you had no armor neither, did you, Colonel?
No, they tried to get it. We didn't really want the armor, but the UN did, and that was turned down by our Secretary of Defense, Les Aspin, the late Les Aspin. So, and they also, the third thing is, don't take away what people know they need. We also had an AC-130 that was part of that mission, too, that didn't get to go either. They were worried about collateral damage. Well, I am, too, but I ain't going to not fight.
And, of course, that's the excuse that we hear now. Mm-hmm. We can't have collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but as you said, we are at war. We've been saying this on this show for 5 years now. The war officially started back when, probably in Somalia. Because, you know, Osama bin Laden came away saying they didn't stay in Somalia, they won't stay anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that emboldened him and emboldened al-Qaeda, and here we are now, right?
It seems like we're the only one playing by the rules, you know, the
exactly.
Marcus of Queensbury rules. Everybody else is kicking us in the groin, thumbing us in the eye, and we're playing it straight. I think it's time to take the gloves off. How about Iran chanting death to America? That's chanting death to me, death to my family, death to my friends. How about death to Iran? Fly a whole bunch of B-52s over just to remind them who the hell we are. Excuse me.
Amen.
Oh. Are you okay, Jim?
Well, no, but see,
hey, this is the Iron Sheik, Jim. It's time, buddy.
But you this know? Is how you win. This is how you achieve victory, by using overwhelming force, correct?
Yeah. And see, I don't want people to think that I'm sitting here saying we need to go to war. No, we're already at war, but we're not fighting the war.
We need to win the damn thing is what we're saying. That's what Hacksaw just said. That's what you've been saying. That's what we've been saying.
We're at war.
And we need to fight it like we're going to win it.
Yep.
You know, Lair and I did a tribute dinner for Herschel Woody Williams, Medal of Honor winner, Iwo Jima, flamethrower guy, right? Mm-hmm. And he gave a presentation. He said, he came right out and said, look, if we had to fight World War II with these rules of engagement, we'd be speaking German right now.
Yeah. Amen. Exactly. Yep.
Well, we got a guy like Colonel McKnight saying stuff. You know, me and Mike, we've never been in the, you know, he's been seen the
we haven't been in the trenches.
He has. AK-47. Different perspective there. And when a man like that, you got to pay attention to what he says.
Yeah, by the way, what weapon was the weapon of choice of your enemy in Somalia?
AK-47.
Imagine that. All right, let's take a phone call, then we might have to take a break. We got a couple of phone calls up, so if you all be patient, we'll get to both of you. Marshall, thanks for calling. Please make it brief and to the point.
Sure. I just got the word. You know, Louise Gunz here. I can't pronounce the name. The crazy senator wants to amnesty for all the illegals. His wife was at the center. And she witnessed the armed men coming in, and she boarded herself in the room that she was working in.
Well,
okay, now the other thing, Colonel, as you know this to be true, what if we had actually bombed the headquarters of ISIS and bombed the oil trucks and all the other strategic, you know what I'm trying to say here, prior to the Paris incident? Do you think that might have prevented the Paris incident?
Well, we supposedly, you know, we're hitting the targets that we're going to stop some of that from happening. Of course, we've also hit some targets that weren't really bad targets, you know, bad people. So, that's the reason.
They say, as you well know, the president's been lying for months.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't have stopped Paris, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think it would have stopped Paris, but it would slow down the spread of ISIS. And by the way, over the holiday, when we took a few days off there, I was going through the channels one morning, and I stumbled across this, and it was on, I believe, AWE. It was like 120s. It was like 256.
AWE, part of the...
Okay. And it was about the Islamic State and the in-depth reporting. Do you know that we know where their media building is? And we haven't bombed that yet? The media building with it, they used to send out all these Facebooks and all this stuff that they do with their social media. We know that where the center is,
Chris,
and we're not bombing it.
On the news today, they were mentioning, Danny, that some of the areas they wouldn't bomb because the president was concerned about the environment in that area. Is this guy crazy? Is he absolutely nuts, you know?
Indeed
he
is.
Tear down that smokestack.
All right, let's take one more break. When we come back, once again, we got another phone caller. We got Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the studio, Colonel Danny McKnight, of course, Mike McBath, and me, Christopher Hart. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries. We are live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And I want to go to the phone lines and take another phone call. This would be JJ. JJ, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if you guys had heard about the 57 Paris airport workers that have security clearance. They're on the terrorist watch list, and they're employed at the airport.
Yes, I had heard about that. Yep. Yeah, that's right. And one, you know, can only wonder, you know, what other installations in Europe have been compromised, for lack of a better word. But certainly this is, you know, it's no surprise. But anyway, thank you. Thank you, JJ. We appreciate your call out there. The Colonel, another thing that I've heard more and more, actually the liberal media actually reporting, that there is fury in the ranks, both of retired military and active duty military, fury at this administration and their fecklessness and their, you know, lack of strategy and unwillingness, evidently, to win this war. I mean, the military, they don't want to fight wars. They want to finish wars.
I know without question that with the retirees, you know, those veterans that have served and everything, I promise you that they are in total upheaval because some of those men and women, they fought in Iraq, they fought in Afghanistan, and they're seeing now this going on and there's no action taken. It makes you feel like, why would you have to go do that, you know? And so that is, you want to talk about people that are upset? You talk to the parents of somebody that lost a loved one. You talk to the wife of someone that lost a loved one. That's the people that are really upset because they don't see us doing what we should be doing, and they're right. Within the ranks itself, yes, there is some. And it's very interesting because you got to remember how low we're taking the military down.
Right.
Just the Army alone.
Yeah, in terms of numbers,
yeah,
sheer force.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, see, that's causing a lot of
distress,
consternation, and everything else because we're taking it down so low. And they say, well, we'll bring it back if we need it. It don't just come back overnight.
You're talking about people who have been trained over
a
period of years.
And we're letting them go.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's a very true statement that there is a lot of fury, if that's what you want to call it. With those
and so much going on active around the world with China building those reefs up in the islands and, of course, Ukraine and Putin and the whole thing now with him opening up another air base in Syria. They haven't been in the Middle East in 40 years. Now Russia's back in Syria.
Hacksaw, let me ask you. You do a lot of traveling. Do you hear people expressing a similar fury to you? Because you're known as an all-American guy, right? All-American wrestler. You carried the flag into the ring. USA chant.
There's a whole different feeling overseas when I travel in Europe about America.
What do you mean?
It's almost like a joke. It's like America, right? You know, France will make their first move. England will stand up. But America, it's that we kind of lost our standing in the world, I believe. You know, I used to, for years, we'll travel all around the world waving the American flag, and the folks would chant, USA, USA.
In other parts of the world.
Other parts of the world. Now, not at all. And people, I think, don't look at our country as the way they used to.
Can that change back with a different president, say?
Oh, I for sure. I think we're just on a different track. And I think, obviously, this election is going to be a milestone for our country in which direction our country is going to go in the future.
Yeah. All right. Once again, both of these gentlemen are authors of books. It's the gift-giving season coming up. These are great gifts, and great gift for yourself, too, by the way. Streets of Mogadishu by Colonel Danny McKnight. You can get that at DannyMcKnight.com, or, of course, any of the online places. And then, of course, Hacksaw Jim Duggan has written his autobiography entitled Hacksaw, the Jim Duggan Story. You can get that at HacksawJimDuggan.com. Duggan, you spell with two G's, D-U-G-G-A-N. And the situation, once again, in San Bernardino, we will keep our eye on it. Nonetheless, tomorrow night, we're going to try to help. Now, Colonel McKnight makes a good point that it's impossible to vet these people, but we're going to do our duty as citizens and try to help. Right, Mike?
No, Chris, I appreciate Danny's comment. His comment falls in line with all the professional people involved in the military. It's impossible to vet, right? So do we want them crossing our borders? Do you want them rolling in? Well, you know what we've decided, and we're asking our listeners to join in. We need to present a list to the president of what the vetting questions should be, because obviously he doesn't get it. And obviously they're coming across day in and day out. Now, remember, in Syria, 90% of the Syrians are Muslim, and the other 10% are various different religions and everything. Now, jeez. I'm going to give you an example. We want you to write a question that we could use to help vet, and then we could send this off to Washington and see if our people would pick up on how intelligent we are. Now, my first question, and for name purposes, we'll call this gentleman Ahmed. That sounds like he might be Syrian, right? Well, Ahmed, as you should be aware, holidays have great meaning to Americans. Which holidays would you feel best represents your feelings? Now, remember, we're trying to get a profile on this guy. There'll be numerous questions. A, Christmas. B, Easter. C, 9/11.
Oh.
Now you take, with a whole list of questions, we're going to be able to come up with a profile that will help us eliminate some of these terrorists. So it's up to you, our call-ins. Tomorrow, the game begins, and there'll be some great prizes. So, should be interesting. We've already had a few, Chris, come in through the side. That's what I call it, through the phones.
Through email, yeah, we got this one. What do you like best about women's burkas?
Well, listen to this one.
The screen covering the eyes, the fact that you can't see what's underneath because it terrifies you, or C, enjoying the luxury of a lengthy strip tease free of charge every night.
I can
That's
see
what
it.
I vote for.
I
C.
Mean, our clients seem to be able to put this package together.
Yeah, they seem to be able
so
to
this is going to be exciting tomorrow.
Put it
so.
In perspective. So.
Right. We need a little professionalism shown here.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We'll see where we go.
Not
absolutely.
A chance.
All right. Well, Colonel, you're coming back in a couple of weeks on
yep.
the 15th.
Be back in 2 weeks.
Yep. And Hacksaw, you're welcome back anytime, of course, as well.
Thank you. Love to come in here and talk with you guys. It's great.
And of course, Mike, you'll be back tomorrow night when we do our contest. And don't forget, Streets of Mogadishu and Hacksaw, the Jim Duggan story. Great books. And this time of year, they make great gifts. And they're easy to wrap, too, right? And you can get it autographed by Colonel McKnight by ordering it from his website. And you can get autographed things at Hacksaw's website as well.
The Hacksaw book works at a good doorstop, too.
Multiple purposes for this. He's in the target. You know what I mean?
Hey!
Yeah, that's funny.
All right. Once again, I want to thank you guys for being here tonight. And don't go away. We still got a big show lined up for you. We got Chris Kassler and Amapola Hansberger from Legal Immigrants from America. And, of course, this is one of the things that they are motivated by are illegals coming to this country and committing acts of violence. Either, you know, crimes, street, what would be normally known as perhaps street crime, and or terrorist acts. So that we'll get their take on the San Bernardino situation and once again update you, Colonel.
Yeah, let's make sure we ask everybody to keep the San Bernardino people in our prayers tonight because they need it, that's for sure. So we need to make sure we have them in our prayers.
God bless America, guys.
God bless America.
Amen. Folks, that's right. You still have the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show for another full hour this evening. And once again, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Please don't ever forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. As I said, this is the gift-giving season, and books are great gifts to give. Why? Because they never stop giving. You can always go back and read it again, and you'll get something else out of it, I guarantee you. I do that all the time with the Bible. All right. Well, as I said, welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. Nick LoCicero is still on the bridge. Herr General Lucas Paris still has us up on YouTube. Tell them how they can visualize us there, Herr General.
You go to YouTube.com, and in their search bar, type in Adversaries TV, one word. You'll find our channel. Click on it. You'll see four new videos up already. Go further down. You'll find our pizza eating contest and last week's shows.
All right. It's just that easy. And you'll see a new cast of characters in here now. Mike and Hacksaw Jim are on their way to the NFL quote-unquote meeting. And Colonel McKnight is on his way to a meeting with our dear friend Mary Ganster. She, of course, along with her husband, deceased husband, Ed Ganster, founded OS 91, Operation Safety 91, which seeks to put a plastic Psalm 91 card in every military person's pocket and first responders. Mm. It's a great organization. So in their place, we now have in the studio some great folks from Legal Immigrants for America. That's golifa.com. And I have in with me Amapola Hansberger, the founder of LIFA. Amapola, good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thank you for having us.
Yep. And Chris Kassler, who is now the director of production at LIFA, because you guys have a new chairman of the board.
Well, we have a new executive director.
Executive director, I'm sorry.
Stephen Gushoff has come on as our new colleague, And he's making some waves, which we're glad to say. And I expect he'll be on your show next week or the week after.
Yeah, and that's big news because Stephen was, of course, with the Liberty Council, for a number of years.
Tremendous amount of experience in the field of fundraising and putting together a foundation and really making things sing, which is great.
And, of course, he's a lawyer, so that helps out, too.
And he's a pastor as well.
And that's right. You're right. And he's also a big wrestling fan, so he's going to be mad he missed Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He's going to see that picture of you guys with Hacksaw and go, oh, man.
And that was a blast having him on. That was great.
And he's also a very smart and well-informed man.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So, he's no slouch.
And as your listeners will discover, he's also very articulate.
Indeed. Yes. Indeed he is. And he's got huge hands. Golly, does he ever. All right. San Bernardino, most of you have probably already heard. Some of you may not. There's been a mass shooting in San Bernardino. It appears in all likelihood to be a terrorist act. It was committed at a place called the Inland Regional Facility, which is a campus facility, sort of a horseshoe-shaped building about three stories tall and employs about 650 people, and they serve some 30,000 mentally impaired people in the San Bernardino and Los Angeles area. So obviously it's a very soft target, and it appears to be a terrorist act because there were as many as three perpetrators, according to the Los Angeles Police Department, who entered the building shooting AK-47s with face masks and apparently body armor. They escaped. They have not been caught as of airtime. They escaped in a black SUV. And it's still an ongoing situation there. They sent in the bomb squad. They thought there was a bomb perhaps left in the building. I'm not sure about the determination of that. Carl Jackson alerted me a little while ago that there are at least 14 fatalities. Oh. There were other people wounded. We do not know how many more and how bad. That's what we know right now. The president evidently has issued a response, and let's go to Rick on the line right now. Rick, thank you. What was the president's response? We've been on air and I haven't been able to see it.
Well, as usual, his response is he either blames Christians or workplace violence or, everything but what it is, and this looks very close to being a terrorist attack. And since it's so close to California, to Mexico, it's very possible that it's a cell, and who knows, they may have gone back across the border, and which I pray. And you're praying, people out there need to pray for the families of these people. Unfortunately, California, it's the left coast in more ways than one.
Yeah.
They'll probably side with the president and what have you. But I heard his comments, and of course, it's more of the same. Basically, you could put this on a loop for every time some shooting happens. It's going to be the same over and over by the entire media. Now, his goals over the next 12 and a half months, which is what he's got left with, which is not going to end quick enough. He's got some lofty goals, and you guys aren't off the hook because that fairness doctrine, I believe, is one of the ones he wants to put in place,
Well, that I brought that out the other day because of the response to the Planned Parenthood shooting in Colorado Springs.
Oh, they're going to blame you guys, because you guys incite this, that's exactly what, their tactics are.
Yeah, I know. But see, actually, once again, the liberals get it exactly backwards. If anything, we are a pressure valve. In other words, we allow that people can blow off steam. We allow that people know that there's somebody out there saying the truth, saying what needs to be said, and it kind of eases the pressure back, actually.
We are a good thing. They don't want the truth out.
Well, that's their
agenda is all about twisting everything.
The beauty of radio is with a small transmitter, you can still go on the air. So they can do whatever they want to try to silence us, but at the end of the day, it will be impossible to do. Rick, thank you for the call. I appreciate you being out there.
At least he didn't blame it on global warming.
we can only just wait, and I'm sure they'll get around to that.
Yeah, not yet.
Well, let me bring you guys into this conversation. Legal immigrants for America. Obviously, we want legal immigration. We don't want illegal immigration. Having the porous border down there on our southern border is a huge concern of LIFA. We don't know that any of this involved illegal immigration, but in fact, this is one of the things you guys fear the most, is it not? That something like this could be done by illegal immigrants or illegal terrorists coming into this country using the illegal immigration process to get here.
Well, the border's open, effectively. The government, the Congress actually provided the funds to build a 900-mile wall. They've only built about 69 miles out of that. So the thing has been open effectively for the last 30 years since they decided to reinforce it. But not only is it people, it's also drugs and guns. We've got a lot of stuff going back and forth between here and Mexico, over which we have no control. If you, as I did not too long ago, drive across South Texas, there are signs to tell you, don't get too close to the border. Stay away, because we have no control over this territory, even though it's part of the United States.
Yeah, we are the voice. Like your voice is the equalizer, we have to have a voice that expresses the opposite view that is the leftist view, which is open the borders, be compassionate. And I say, yes, let us be compassionate, but to our own family. We Americans are family, so we have to take care of Americans first.
To me, that's a false notion that it is compassionate just to allow people to come in here, or Syrian refugees to be brought here, taken away from their homeland. That's a false notion of compassion, isn't it not?
The ramifications are incredibly long, such as the economy, it takes a downturn because there are no jobs. We don't have enough money to provide for our veterans. The schools have to close. The hospitals have to close because they are simply overwhelmed by the numbers of people showing up. So illegal immigration has to stop if we are to have a prosperous country.
And in regards to the Syrian refugees, the people who come here through the refugee program are automatically qualified for every bit of social welfare that we have, are they not, Chris?
Correct, because they are refugees and not immigrants. There's a distinction. And they are given automatic access to every program available, both state and federal, immediately. Right. They don't have to speak the language. They don't have to take the test that a citizen takes to prove that they've studied American history and geography. None of that is required or expected. And so we have people being transplanted into American communities who are not capable or interested in assimilating. They're bringing their customs and their language with them, and they're being paid for by our tax dollars. They're also being supported. It's horrifying but true. Federal government has spent over $1 billion in the last 5 years bringing these people in. And they use the Christian relief agencies, primarily the Catholics, the Episcopalians, and the Lutherans, who are paid $1,500 a head to relocate people inside this country. The program is run by the State Department in collusion with the United Nations. And so we are being invaded at the behest of the United Nations, which, by the way, is controlled by the 57 Muslim countries that run it.
And the Christian organizations are being used to bring Muslims into the country, not just Christians, correct?
That is correct.
As a matter of fact, very, very few Christians.
Christians are left behind.
The candidates for immigration are chosen at the UN. Guess why? Not by us. So the overwhelming majority of these refugees are Muslims.
And
that's
right.
And you made a point that I've made on the show as well. They're not coming here to assimilate into our society. They're coming here to assimilate us into their culture.
Yes, well, I'd like to make a comment about the compassion question.
All right.
And if you go to golifa.com, one of the lead articles at the top page of our homepage is Compassion Kills. And it's a detailed discussion of what happened in France on the 13th when 132 people were killed and many more were injured as a consequence of compassion. These people were allowed in. They weren't checked. They weren't vetted. They weren't controlled. They weren't tracked. And they were dangerous. And we found that out the hard way. That was compassion at work.
Right.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why is it so different to going to get on a flight? You have to go through the TSA. You have to go through the machine. And it happened because the country wants to take care of its people, and the airlines have to safeguard their airplanes from being blown up. Well, it's the same thing with the border. They need to have the same checks so that bad people don't come in.
Right. Yeah, it seems a little ridiculous that we have all the security checks at places like airports, which are, you know, places where people come and go, and yet we don't on the border, where
right.
is a place where people come and go, right?
Yeah, and this year alone, there were 9,295 criminal aliens that were released from jail.
Into this country?
In this country already. And of those people, 5,947 had significant criminal records, and one of them killed Kate Stanley.
Yeah, and she, of course, was the woman who was killed in San Francisco just walking on a pier with her father. We had a caller earlier who suggested that the Obama is promoting. Encouraging these types of shootings and attacks. I'm not so sure about this one. In order to confiscate people's guns from them, he thinks that it's going to work better for the Democrats in the upcoming election. I think it's exactly the opposite. I think that this works against, for instance, Hillary Clinton. I think that if anything, and once again, this is just looking at this from a political standpoint, this helps Republicans in general and one Republican in particular.
Yes.
Moby Dick.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Love that cartoon.
Because he is adamant that we have a problem with the border, adamant that we have a problem, we're not vetting people who come into this country, and adamant that we got to do something about it. Just your thoughts on that.
Well, people feel vulnerable in general because the government's not protecting them. It's not protecting them at the borders. It's not protecting them in their towns or in their homes or in places like this place in San Bernardino. And I think the public is reflecting that. We just had the largest gun sales in any one day in American history on Friday.
Yeah.
They sold more guns in one day than ever before. That, to me, says that people feel insecure and feel that they have to have the means of defending themselves, whereas a great many people for many, many years never thought that was necessary.
Yeah. Real quickly, and then we'll have to take a break. Got this just now from Carl Jackson. Police have caught up with the SUV. It appears as though the driver is dead. One suspect ran away. Another appears to be alive in the SUV. So Carl will keep us updated on that, and we'll keep you updated as the evening goes along. In the meantime, you are listening to the American Adversaries. We're live. 407-774-8255 is the number. We have Amapola Hansberger and Chris Kassler from Legal Immigrants for America. You can go to golifa.com and sign up, and you'll get alerts, you'll get emails, and you'll get a lot of information. Golifa.com. Please go there and sign up, and don't go away because we'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Once again, we're keeping an eye on the situation in San Bernardino. Once again, just got this from Carl Jackson. The police have caught up with the SUV. It appears as though the driver is dead. One suspect ran away. I'm sure they're chasing him. And another suspect appears to be alive in the SUV. Now, it is still daylight there, so that is... Well, at least for about another hour, they'll have daylight. And then that's the good news, if you will. The bad news is there are 17 wounded and 14 dead so far at this count. So once again, we'll keep you updated as best we can on that. Real quickly, before we went to the break, I was telling you about the Go Life website. By the way, it is a very, very great, very professional website. I mean, it's really nicely done, really easy to navigate. navigate. And Chris is going to tell us some of the stuff you'll find there today.
Okay, well, we have at the top of our homepage, we have several articles that that rotate through, if you will. The first one is called Compassion Kills. That's a detailed discussion of what happened in Paris when on the 13th the terrorists took out 132 people. We talked about that a minute ago.
The thing that Obama says doesn't happen anywhere but in the United States.
Yeah, well, of course, he also, not only that, he said it in Paris.
Yeah,
I mean,
right there.
Like,
in front.
He's right there.
And by the way, the European media noticed.
Oh, good.
They noticed, and they were not at all happy about, and especially the French media, because that didn't even happen according to him.
Now there was
right?
Wasn't there a big gathering of world leaders after the Charlie Hebdo shootings?
Yes,
that he didn't attend,
and Obama didn't go. Right.
He didn't go.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, the next article that's on the front page at the top is Trump talks immigration to overflow crowd in Jacksonville. This is a couple of weeks old. We went to see Donald Trump in Jacksonville. We videotaped his presentation. And so there is a video clip there of him speaking to the crowd. I was very impressed, I must say. He was warm. I mean, he's the kind of guy, he's like, okay, he's a billionaire, but he's the kind of guy you could think, well, we go to the bar and have a drink together. I mean, get along with him. You know,
when he speaks, it's like he's one of us.
Very engaging, exactly.
Yes. And something else, I've not been to one of his rallies. When he was at the summit, we were doing the show when he was actually speaking. My brother said, as soon as he came in the room, though, it looked like he was in charge. He just looks like he's in charge. But something else that people say is that they come away feeling good. They come away sort of uplifted. Did you have the same feeling?
Yes. And now he may have some strong statements to make. He certainly does. No question about it.
Right.
But remember, he always ends on a positive note. What does he say? He says, make America great again. He emphasizes the positive, no matter what negative things he's had to say. You know, and so, you know, we respond to that. We don't come away feeling down in the mouth. We feel, oh, there's a possibility here. We're going to return to America's greatness better than ever with this guy. And it's a great feeling. It works.
Even Democrats are attracted to him because Democrats don't like illegal immigration either.
Good point.
All right. While we still have time, what else on the website?
The next article is Jesus was not a refugee. Yeah. One of the memes that's coming out of the left is, oh, well, you know, you got to accept every refugee because Jesus was a refugee. Well, he wasn't a refugee. He was born in Bethlehem. His family returned to the place, their home place for the census. That's where they belonged. They weren't refugees at all.
Yeah.
So that's a falsehood that's being widely perpetrated. And the next article I'll mention is called If Ike Could Do It, Why Can't We? And that's a discussion of Operation Wetback in 1954 when President Eisenhower, former general, had used the U.S. Army to round up and encourage a great many people to return to Mexico where they belong.
Right.
And they moved over a million people with that.
And by the way, most of them went out voluntarily when they saw that the authorities were serious about doing it. He did it with like 1,000 agents, didn't he, or 3,000 agents, I believe?
Yes, I think it was something like that.
3,000
agents, which is a fraction of what we have today.
Exactly, in the Customs INS. So that is what you'll find at golifa.com, golifa.com. Also, they can sign up there, right?
Yes, you can sign up for our updates. You can also go type LIFA, L-I-F-A, to 53445. Text us, and we'll put you on our list. Every time we post new information, we will be...
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
All right, and that is, of course, Hacksaw, who was just in the studio here earlier. And you can go to our YouTube channel. Once again, where is that, Herr General?
You're going to go on to YouTube.com, and in the search bar there, type in Adversaries TV, one word. You'll find our channel there. Click on it. Newest videos are at the top. Older videos are further down. In a descending order, come to Periscope Depth, the American Adversaries.
Okay. All right. Well, once again, we've got Legal Immigrants for America in the studio with us today, at least two of them, Amapola Hansberger, the founder, and Chris Kassler, who's now the director of production. Is that correct?
Executive producer.
Okay. And he does all their great media work for them. And once again, text LIFA. Please get out your phone right now. text LIFA, L-I-F-A, to this number, 53445. That's 53445. Text LIFA to 53445, and you will be put on a list where you'll get alerts and updates and things of that nature.
We'll be posting a new video tomorrow, for example, and we'll send the link out to everybody on the list.
All right.
So you'll be up to date.
All right. Okay. We were talking about Trump. Obviously, I think, you know, his stance on immigration is pretty clear. And he would, I do believe, implement some form of expulsion for illegal immigrants in this country.
Yes, I think so.
And someone else, though, who would, I'm not sure if he would or not, but he does seem to have a pretty detailed plan to deal with the immigration problem, both the illegal immigration problem and problems we're having with legal immigration, and that's Ted Cruz.
Yes.
Have you been able to evaluate his plan, and what do you think about it?
Well, he just introduced legislation in Congress. He introduced legislation in Congress to keep the refugees from coming who are coming from
Syria and the Middle East.
Syria, from countries that are controlled by ISIS, such as Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen.
As a matter of fact, he was very specific about the countries.
Yes,
very
he was.
Specific.
And in fact, this is revolutionary. You know, there's nothing, you know, ambiguous about it. Very clear on what his intentions are.
Just real quick, let me make this clear. This is not part of his presidential proposal. This is legislation that he's putting forward right now in the Senate.
November.
He's not waiting.
He did it November 19th, and I'm reading an article that was on the Daily Signal by Philip Wakeman.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I'll cut you off.
Well, I was impressed. When he was here, we were all together at the Sunshine Summit. He had a separate occasion at Faith Assembly where he spoke to a crowd of at least 3,500 people. The entire presentation, which was 40 minutes long, and I videotaped the entire thing, was about immigration. And the beauty of it was that he didn't just say, well, we're just going to deport all the illegals or make some broad, you know, unsupported statement. He was detailed. He talked about legislation that had been passed. He talked about what needed to be done, what hadn't been done, about the laws that exist on the books, how they can be enforced, how many people work in INS, how many more we need or don't need. He had it all laid out in detail, which I admire Donald Trump, and I'm sure he can get to details too, but he generally doesn't. You know,
right.
He makes broad statements, and everybody goes, yay, that's great. But Cruz had a program that made so much sense.
The difference is that we have Senator Ted Cruz is in Congress right now, whereas Donald Trump is a civilian like you and I.
Yeah, he has no effect over legislation.
At this point, that's correct.
True. That's true.
And now Marco Rubio, of course we know his efforts in the past, is attacking Ted Cruz, saying in essence that Cruz wants to do the same thing that he wanted to do.
Marco Rubio, a couple of things about him. One, and Paula speaks better Spanish than I do by a million miles. Rubio has made certain statements in Spanish to Spanish audiences about allowing people into the country that he's contradicted when he speaks in English. He's spoken out of both sides of his mouth on this issue.
Yes.
And this is duplicitous, literally duplicitous. The second thing is Marco Rubio is in favor of increasing abuses of the H-1B program. We have major corporations in this country, AT&T and Hewlett-Packard and Disney, et cetera, who are displacing American workers that they're already paying, that are on their payroll, bringing in foreigners to take their places, requiring their existing workers to train their replacements. If they won't do it, they get blacklisted or they don't get any benefits. Now, this has been going on for a long time. I spoke to a trainer, an IT trainer, on Saturday, who told me that he had been training people for Honeywell in 2003 in Phoenix. And the Indians that were going to replace the Americans were sitting side by side with these guys in training sessions. And the Americans were being told, we're going to give you $15,000 to get lost, but first you have to train this other guy.
Or you don't get the $15,000.
Who's going to work for no benefits, work for 80 hours a week. And the abuse of the H-1B workers is not being discussed. These people have no rights. If they get out of line, guess what? They get shipped back to India. Goodbye, sayonara. And so Everybody loses except the corporations that are taking advantage of this. I had a long interview with an attorney in Sarasota on Monday. She has taken on the cause of representing American workers who have been displaced. She's preparing and has filed, actually, a class action suit. She gave me all the lowdown on how this works. The H-1B program has merit. It's there so that people who have specific skills can be brought into the United States to provide something we can't find here. She spoke about a guy from Japan who is an expert on, determining the sex of koi fish or something. I mean, really wild stuff. I mean, this is the only guy in the world who could do it, okay? So okay. They let him into the country.
Right.
But it's not the same thing as having a bunch of guys that know how to do basic IT coming from Madras. That's not the same thing at all.
I saw you nodding your head when Chris was saying that Marco Rubio says one thing in Spanish and another thing in English.
Yes. Well, he's for amnesty. And how can you give amnesty to the criminal aliens?
But is that what he, in essence, is saying in Spanish to Spanish audiences? In
yes,
so many words, he's saying, look, you know, I understand we're going to have to find a way, path to legal status or something.
He's very soft on illegal immigration. He really is. And he realizes that that's not popular, so he's now changing his tune. The same with Fiorina. Carly Fiorina was very soft on immigration, illegal immigration.
Any of the other candidates pique your interest?
Mike Huckabee is such a strong Christian. I really do like him. I wish that he would do better, but I don't think that he will. And Rick Santorum is another Christian that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have some excellent candidates out there.
Right.
But they cannot all win.
Well, I think Dr. Carson has a lot to offer.
Yes.
I frankly don't think he's going to prevail, but I think that his voice in the discussion has been very helpful. He's had some things to say that are quite strong and necessary. I really appreciate that. I don't think he can become president under the circumstances, but he might be in a new administration in some very significant role.
I could see him as a VP candidate.
Certainly.
And or certainly in a cabinet. Because the man is brilliant.
Yes.
He is, his tendency, his calling in life is to heal, to be a healer, so I think that he definitely does have a place in the process.
He should head Health and Human Services.
Well, he went to Syria, in person last week.
Yeah.
And visited the people in the camps. And now he came back and expressed the opinion that those people don't want to move to the United States. They want their own country at peace so they can live there.
Right.
That's what he expressed, and I think he's probably right.
Right.
I know, because we've had an Orthodox nun here for the prayer march who is from a little village on the Turkish border. She says the same thing.
Yes.
But the country is riven with warfare. I mean, obviously people want to run away from it.
Okay, once again, we're speaking with Amapola Hansberger and Chris Kassler from LIFA. That's Legal Immigrants for America. And you can visit them at golifa.com and just make everything easy on yourself. Text LIFA, L-I-F-A, to 53445. That's LIFA to 53445, and that will put you on a list, and they'll give you updates and things like that. And they got some wild-eyed radio talk show host doing videos for them. So just for the entertainment value, you might want to check that out.
We're also using the texting service for giveaways, by the way, T-shirts and things of that sort. So periodically, everybody on that list gets entered into a drawing.
Hey, there you go. That's and it doesn't cost you a penny. All right, just takes a second or two to text it. And that's LIFA to 53445.
And if you're a foreign-born, we love you. I'm foreign-born, so we have people from Germany, France, Belgium, Thailand.
You know, one of the things, to bring it back to Trump for a minute, one of the things that I've found interesting is there are a lot of Hispanics who are supporting Trump. Are there not?
Very, a lot of them.
Are they coming to you?
They're not coming to us. The ones coming to us are from Puerto Rico because it's an American. They're American, but they like Donald Trump. But no, I have encountered a lot of Europeans that have come to us, and a minority of Hispanics.
Well, we do have a board member you know, who is from Ecuador.
From Ecuador.
For example. So we do have a number of people in the Spanish-speaking community who are members and joined up with us.
And I would imagine those numbers are going to grow.
Oh, they are. They're growing rapidly, actually. Yeah. We're very excited about this.
Yeah. And this organization is growing. And, of course, as we announced earlier, Steve Gushov, formerly of the Liberty Council, he's been on the show a number of times talking about Supreme Court issues, is now the
executive
director of LIFE.
He knows what he's doing. It's really, really powerful.
And
big help.
And if you would like LIFA to come speak to your group, they'll do it. Tell them, please tell them
There are a number of ways you can do it. One is to go to the website. There's an info link there. Send me an email. We check the email every day. So if you want to communicate with us, comment on the articles or invite us to speak. We don't charge anything for speaking. We've spoken all over the state. We've been as far south as Sebring. We've been all over to Jacksonville and so forth. So,
and you're going out to Las Vegas.
Going to Las Vegas, that's correct, and also going to Pensacola in the new year so far. So we'd love to come speak to you and make a presentation about legal immigration in America and all of the issues that surround it.
If you're an immigrant to this country, you need to be a part of this organization. If you're born in this country, you need to be a part of this organization, all right? If we're here legally, this organization is for us. Because Chris used the word a while ago, invasion. We are being invaded. There's no question about it. And once again, to go back to Trump, if we don't have a border, if we don't protect the sovereignty of this nation, we don't have a nation. Right?
That's correct.
We just got something now, that we paint on signs and wave flags, but we don't have a true nation. You have to have a secure border to have a sovereign nation.
Well, and it's a side issue at this point, but another attribute of nations, if you look it up in the dictionary, is that you have a common language. This is a very important part of the cohesion of a nation, literally, that you speak the same language. And one of the problems that we've engendered over the last 50 years is that we've gotten to the point where we'll teach any kid in his own language in a public school. So now you have all these kids running around in California, in LA, we had 42 languages being used in the public school system. That's not helping anybody.
No. And it lowers the education standards for everyone. Now the Hispanics that have come our way are from Cuba and Nicaragua, places that have experienced communism, and they are scared. So, yeah.
All right. Okay, let's see. I tell you what, we'll take a break, and then Scott of My Liberty Threads is going to check in with us. You know, folks, he does these informal polls when he's out on the road at various events, fairs, and political rallies and things, and he's going to check in with one of his latest polls right after the break. Once again, we have Amapola Hansberger and Chris Kassler of Legal Immigrants for America. Please join the organization. It's easy. It doesn't cost you anything. Just text LIFA 253445. That's LIFA to 53445. You can visit them. Their website is golifa.com. That's golifa.com. All right, please don't go away. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries as we're wrapping up the show this evening. Once again, we still have the great folks from Legal Immigrants for America in the studio, and Amapola was making a point about the war that we were in, and I had Colonel McKnight back in here in the studio before, and we were pointing out that we are in a war, whether we like it or not, and we were kind of speculating when it started back in Somalia, but Amapola actually, I think, has hit the nail on the head. Tell us when this war started, Amapola.
About 1,400 years ago, the Muslim Muhammad began to cut to persecute the Christians and the Jews, and he's been cutting heads. The Muslims have been cutting heads wherever they go, where Christians are. So this war has been going on forever.
Yeah, Islam was spread back then with the blade of a sword, and it seems like they're up to it again. Okay, let's go to Scott from My Liberty Threads. Scott, where are you at, and what have you found out this week?
Well, we found out how the people at the gun shows are feeling, that's for sure. We polled at the gun show in Fort Wayne, Indiana, up in Ocala at the Armory, and then we were down at the fairgrounds in Orlando this weekend. So we got the compilation of those three polls.
Okay.
altogether we had 142 people vote, and it was overwhelming. It was Trump way in front, then Cruz, and then way back to everybody else. So altogether, Trump had about 55.5% of the vote. Ted Cruz had 25.5%, and then it was Ben Carson with 7% and Marco Rubio with 6%.
And that was Thanksgiving weekend?
Yep, Thanksgiving weekend at three different gun shows. And it was interesting. Rubio had more votes in Indiana than he had in the two gun shows in Florida combined.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah. And Hillary beat Jeb Bush at the gun show. She came in with a whopping 1.4%, which was 2 votes, and Jeb was shut out.
That hurts. That hurts for the Jeb Bush campaign.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how to write the headline for this one, if I should have focused on the Trump, then Cruz, and everybody else,
right,
or Hillary thrashes Jeb at the gun show.
Yeah, really. Hey, listen, you were there for Black Friday, I take it, at these gun shows.
Yep, we were there for Black Friday, and the lines were tremendous.
That's what we hear.
When I did in Orlando.
That's what we hear, that there were more gun permits applied for at the FBI than ever before, and the gun sales were the highest ever.
Wow. I know that the concealed carry class that they offer in Orlando, from what I heard, was full. You know, and which isn't always the case. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, Scott, we'll check in with you again later on. I'm up against some time right now, though. But great work once again.
My pleasure. You guys have a great night.
Thank you, sir. And that is Scott Miller of My Liberty Threads, a sponsor of the show. You can get his great T-shirts, and they are made in America, of American materials, and you can find them at MyLibertyThreads.com. That's MyLibertyThreads.com. Real quick, and just an elevator speech, what are the goals of LIFA, Legal Immigrants for America?
The goals of Legal Immigrants for America is to see to it that America's immigration laws are enforced, that the rights of all citizens, and particularly legal immigrants, are respected, and to strengthen America's security. We're a conservative Christian organization. We admit that. But we believe in the principles that founded this nation. We believe in our Constitution. We believe in Jesus Christ. And we want to further all of those.
And also, we consider the open borders a serious national security breach that needs to be addressed. And the remedies are the closing of the borders, enforcement of our immigration laws, the stopping of the unfair preferential treatment that's afforded illegals and Muslims. That has to stop. And the implementation of E-Verify is amongst some of the issues that we would like to lobby in Congress as well as locally for.
Okay, and this is all spelled out very clearly at golifa.com. That's golifa.com. We'll take one more phone call, and I'm going to have to ask you to be brief and to the point. Thank you for calling, Mike. We appreciate you being out there. Do we have Mike? Mike, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, I have a very quick question. What is their rebuttal when they say these Syrian refugees, pure little ladies and children, why are you trying to stop them from coming in?
Okay. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate that call. Chris.
What is the rebuttal? Well, if there really were little old ladies and children, then of course we would feel differently about it. But predominantly, 3 out of 4 of these refugees are military-age men who are not bringing a family, not bringing children, and maybe bringing far worse that we have to be concerned about.
And
the Muslims are loyal to Islam. Wherever you put them, those children will not be loyal to the U.S. Constitution or the United States of America. They will be loyal to Islam, and they will be trained to be whatever, you know, the position they want in with ISIS or somewhere else.
And Usama Dakdok spoke this past Monday. He's going to be back.
He's coming back December the 17th, which is Thursday. The talk starts at 6:30. The doors open at 6. It's at Doc's Streetside Grill on Orange Avenue across from ORMC. Free parking, free meeting, and it's on the third floor in the meeting room.
Now, I wasn't able to make it this past Monday. You, I understand, were there, Chris. How did it go?
He was phenomenal. Usama is an Egyptian-born American.
He's a legal immigrant.
He's a very legal immigrant. He is outspoken on Islam. He studied at Al-Azhar. He understands Islam inside and out and can relate it to an American audience. He makes it very clear, frankly, that there's no difference between a so-called moderate Islamist and a radical Muslim. They're the same thing. Because if you're a true Muslim, you have to follow the Quran. You have to live according to the way that Muhammad lived. Otherwise, you're not a real Muslim. So if you're trying to be a true Muslim, you basically subscribe to all of that stuff in the Quran that tells them to kill infidels, which is all of us.
Wherever you find them, by the way. Or you can enslave them,
of course. But that's basically what it comes down to. But Usama was on fire. He only got through half of his presentation. That's why he's coming back on the 17th. Dock Street Side Grill. 6 o'clock, doors open. 6:30, the meeting starts. Free parking. Please join us.
You had a nice crowd there.
Almost overflow.
But we want it to be overflowing next time.
Yes.
He was outstanding. He said that everything that ISIS is doing is, their Bible is the Quran, so it is their biblical Quran, controlled by the Quran.
Okay, once again, Legal Immigrants for America, text LIFA to 53445 or go to golifa.com. But please become a part of this group and what they're trying to do, because it is all about saving the United States, the sovereignty, our borders, and being actually truly compassionate, right? Because allowing illegal immigration, allowing anything illegal to continue is not being compassionate.
We need to be compassionate for our own people and our own country first. It's not to say we're not compassionate about others, but frankly, charity begins at home. We need to look after America. And that's what counts first.
You have to worry about your children and grandchildren.
And your veterans, for example.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We need to be realistic, we need to be vigilant, and we need to be compassionate. But it's got to be in that order. It can't be upside down, or we get what you got in France. Once again, the situation in San Bernardino is still developing. They have found the SUV, and according to Carl Jackson, the driver was dead, and one of the perps ran away, and the other was still evidently in the SUV. Anyway, we'll have more details about this when we come back again tomorrow night. Once again, you've been listening to the American Adversaries, and I'm sure Hugh Hewitt, who will be following us here now at 7 o'clock, is going to have some updates about San Bernardino as well. So we want to thank you for being out there and listening to the show. It's been an ordeal of a day in the sense that we have the San Bernardino story, but I appreciate the fact that we had some great guests on the show here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so please go to golifa.com, that's golifa.com, or text LIFA to 53445. And once again, you've been listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Don't forget, tomorrow night, we're going to have our vetting question contest. What question could we ask to better vet these refugees before we allow them into our great nation? If you've got a question, we want to hear it. That's tomorrow night. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. Night, everybody.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Baltimore.